How's it going, everybody? It's like 1:11 a.m. And as you see the title of this, I'm probably going to name this podcast Bieber. Because here's what just happened. I just got done watching one of my YouTubers react to... I can't remember where it was at or where it's from or whatever, but he watched Justin Bieber singing Lonely live at that one version of it that, you know, that goes around quite a bit. And I was listening to him talk about some things, and, you know, I hadn't actually watched the video myself because, you know, I've heard the studio version of it, though. And, it got me kind of emotional, you know. I'm trying to remember whether I've ever talked about Bieber on the podcast or not. If I have, it's been a while. But let me kind of give you my journey with Bieber. So, I remember when he got really big back when he was young. And I loved him. Like, even when he was a kid, I thought he had a great voice. And I liked the grooviness of his music, you know. Even when, like, Karate Kid came out and he did that Never Say Never song with Jaden Smith, you would think with hearing it every time I cleaned the goddamn theater that I wouldn't want to hear it anymore. But it's quite the opposite because, you know, when you hear it all the time, it kind of just gets stuck in your head, but you don't always, like, remember the lyrics. So you're like, fuck it, I got to get this out of my head. So, you know, at the time, music wasn't all that expensive on iTunes. It was still, like, 99 cents. So I bought that motherfucker. So, yeah, I have that single on my account forever and always, unless Apple changes somehow. But then, you know, his Never Say Never movie came out and all of that, and, you know, where it talked about his life story. And I actually saw that 5 times in the theater. I saw the regular version 3 times, and then when the extended or special version of it came out, I saw that twice. And I've always never thought that he deserved all the hate that he got. And I still kind of feel that way now. I think there's still a lot of people that haven't really followed him. Like, to any real in-depth degree. To really have a fair say in the matter at all. You know, all people want to do is judge him by what they see in the media and what they see, you know, like the bad stuff, you know, that kind of stuff. And you know, first it was his sickness and hearing about everything that happened. That really reminded me how much I genuinely care about him as a human being. But then hearing all this stuff come out about Diddy and what might have happened with him, and we don't need to go into depth on that. I think is so sad that someone with so much talent, and honestly I think someone with a big heart, because I do think he has a big heart, has gone through what he's gone through in his life, you know. If you are one of these people that are like, well, look at all the money he's made, look, you know, he's got fame, he's got this, he's got that, like, what is there to be sorry for? Like, I would love to be in his position. It's like, no you wouldn't, you know. It's, again, the YouTuber I was watching said this in their video, and he's like, people think they want fame, but really they just want the money. They don't, like, most people don't understand everything else that comes with fame, you know? And, you know, I am not here to, you know, defend every action that Bieber has done, you know. But it is still one of those things where I tell people, remember, the only difference between him and us is while he's trying to figure out his life and who he is and what he believes and what he thinks, dealing with trauma and all of this kind of stuff, he is having to deal with it while everybody is watching him. And you could say that for every celebrity, especially young ones that grow up in the industry, whether it's the music industry or the film industry, you know, like, you know, it makes me think of, I think of the kids that play the Losers Club in It, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. I mean, they're not really in Chapter 2 a bunch, but they are there. It's mainly Chapter 1. But I don't know what it was. I think a lot of it had to do about with the specific who these kids were as people. And I say that pretty confidently with following them for all of these years since 2017. But I don't know what it was for them, right? Like when they were filming this. But these kids, and they're not kids anymore, they're young adults now, but they have a, they just bonded together in a way that you don't see very often. And it's crazy because it's like, you know, I follow them all on social media and I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'm scrolling through their Instagram or whatever, and it's like, you'll see, like on Jane's Instagram, I think it wasn't that long ago, like he posted a bunch of pictures and clips, or maybe it was Wyatt, I can't remember, but one of them posted, and like you could see like two of the three others from the movie, you know, is there with them, you know, it's like, it's the whole gang, you know, for the most part. And I think that is really special, and I think a big part of it is having the family that those kids have and having people in their life that keeps them more down to earth, you know. I mean, I try to think about it this way. It's like, think about all the shit that Finn Wolfhard has done since he was a little kid, right? Since he was in middle school. I mean, he's had Stranger Things, he's had the It movies, he's had everything in between that he's done. But this guy seems like he has got such a good head on his shoulders. And look, maybe he just plays it really well in public or on camera. That's possible too, but I really don't think it's that. I think he really has good parents in his life, and a good siblings and good friends. And that really makes all the difference in the world, you know? I don't know that Bieber had that back in the day. And it's a genuine, I don't know. I mean, it was a little bit of a different time. It wasn't as far removed as from like when, you know, like the 90s or like the early 2000s. But once it got to the late 2000s and the last couple of years, yeah, you know, like there was that period of time where it just feels like everything kind of jumped, you know, like light speed, you know. And I don't know, you know, I would put good money on, I think that's the difference in the world at all. It, don't get me wrong, this is not me saying that I don't think that some of these child stars that we see are not being abused and we just don't know about it. I'm sure it happens. I don't want to know who, because I feel like I would, like, seriously, like, bawl and cry. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know, because I really do love a lot of these kids that I've watched grow up in the industry and stuff like that, you know, whether it's Asa Butterfield or Freddie Highmore or all of the kids that were in the It movies, including Sophia, you know, all of them. Like, when I think of, you know, like Noah Jupe and, you know, the list goes on, you know. It's why I'm a little bit more forgiving with Noah Schnapp in this whole Palestine and Israel situation. You know, I don't want to believe that this kid is a Zionist, you know. With everything else that I have seen him post on his social media throughout the years, I don't genuinely think he is that person. I think this is a big, big foot in mouth situation in the biggest way possible. You know, I think he's learning from it, you know. You know. And that's not even to say that, look, if that's genuinely just his stance, then number one, I mean, I think he's kind of not a good person if he has that stance, but he's welcome to have that stance. But being the fact that he's pulled back, I mean, because look, he's at the age now where he doesn't have to listen to his parents. He doesn't really have to listen to his agents. If he really believed those things, I feel like he's the kind of person that wouldn't have made an apology. I feel like he would have doubled down. I really do feel like this is a situation where he got caught up in a fight that he didn't fully understand. You know? Because if this Palestine situation wasn't something I had actually been paying attention to for a long time. Well, I shouldn't say a long time, but for a while, then I probably would have fallen into the same trap he did. Honestly, you know, I got sucked into everything that was happening in the Middle East because of all the stuff that was going on with Syria, you know, a handful of years back. And then from that, I learned about everything else fucked up going on in the Middle East, including Gaza and Palestine and, yeah, that. But, you know, if I hadn't done research myself, I wouldn't have known. And this is the thing that I really want people to understand too. It's like, remember, he's young. Like, I don't want to be the kind of person that writes someone off that young. You know? He is barely 17, 18 years old, however he is, you know, 18, 19, I can't remember. But, you know, he's barely an adult, you know? Like, give the dude some slack. I'm not saying you have to agree with what he said, obviously. I think what he said was vehemently disgusting. But give the dude some slack, all right? He's young. He's a kid. Teach him. Show him why that belief is wrong, you know? Don't just attack him. To be the kind of person that would attack somebody that age, you are letting your emotions get ahead of your intellect. There's a way to do what you're doing, but doing it from an intellectual standpoint. You don't want to create enemies. This is not a situation where we want to create enemies. We need allies. We need more allies, not more enemies. So be nice, be kind, be understanding, you know? And so when it comes to, like, Bieber and all of this, like, personal life stuff and, you know, to sort of bring this back home on a more intimate level, I just can't judge him, you know? And I think part of it, too, is, you know, when I was volunteering in Kids Church, there was this one kid in there that we'll call him Zach. His name was Zach. And he was a little bit rough around the edges. He was a little bit of a bully. By a little bit, I mean he was a bully. He treated a lot of the other boys really, really bad. And oftentimes I was the person who got to babysit him and make sure he kept his hands to himself and all of that kind of jazz. But, you know, there was this incident that happened where he kind of pushed it too far with one of the other boys. And he knew he fucked up. And I'll never forget that look he gave me. Because he knew he fucked up. And I was told to kind of take him to another area and just stay with him, whatnot. And he was not the same person after that. He was not the same kid after that. You know. And so I know his home life was a little bit rough too. I never knew to what extent. I just knew it wasn't the best. But he made a change. And, you know, I didn't really get to stay there long enough to really see, like, the full change myself. Because I started going to another church for a lot of other reasons that, well, we'll just say that's a story for another time. But I think a lot of other people, if it hadn't been me, would have been a lot rougher with him and a lot less understanding, you know. But I think in that moment he needed someone that was calm, you know, because he knew he messed up. And, you know, I never learned what he was going through at home. You know, I'm sure he was probably getting bullied somewhere else in his life, and this was just him. You know, it's the trickle-down effect, you know. If you're getting bullied by somebody else, odds are you are going to bully someone else too when you're young. It may not even be something you consciously do, but it happens. It's for whatever reason, it just kind of is a thing. And it's not a thing for every kid, but it is a thing that happens. And, you know, I got to see a lot of different things, actually, while volunteering in kids' church, when I was going to this particular church. And, you know, knowing a lot of the circumstances that these kids were going through, you know, some of them were going through something simple like divorce, which isn't simple at all, but in terms of, like, the scale of things, you know, that's definitely lower on the list, you know, versus there were kids in there that also had parents that were in drug rehab. There were kids in there that were being abused by their parents, both physically and sexually. And I never knew who those kids were for obvious reasons. You know, that was a pastor kid thing, you know. But we had kids coming in there that were dealing with all of these things. And because of not knowing who specifically was going through all of this, it put me in a place where I had to learn to just be there for all of them in the same way. You know what I mean? Give them all the olive branch to grab onto if they want it, you know, if they need it, you know. And most of the kids grabbed hold, and some of them didn't, you know. And so because of that, I think that's a big reason why I refuse to be the kind of person that just judges someone, you know? I don't need to be a judge, you know? That doesn't mean I'm not going to have my limit for certain things. That doesn't mean that I'm just going to let people get away with certain behavior. But I can still do it in a loving way and an understanding way. I don't have to be a dick about it, you know? Even if I don't personally want to be in someone's life, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be against setting them up so that they can get the help that they need, so that they can be different one day, be better, you know? Like, I don't ever want to get to the place in life where I stop believing in change and believing that people can change, you know? We live in a society that simultaneously wants to judge people for the things they have done in their past, but also wants people to be able to be accepted for who they are in the present. And you can't do both, you know? You've got to take it on a situation by situation basis. It's not, you can't have it both ways, you know? Being that fact, I'd rather choose the side of let people's past be in the past, you know? Doesn't mean you can't talk about it, you know, review it, figure out where you or they went wrong on a particular event. But you need to move on, you know? The analogy I always use with friends of mine and things like that is when you watch runners that are running a race, how many times do you see them looking behind them? Hardly ever, right? If ever. Their focus is what's ahead of them. Their focus is getting to that finish line, getting to that goal. And this is the thing that I have always had the problem with the evangelical church system is, and I don't even think it's so much like clergy or pastors necessarily. I think it can be that, but I find this in the body of the church more than anything, and that's people will not truly forgive you and let you move on from your past. They constantly want to remind you of the monster that you were in the past. And look, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in this stuff anymore. But I'm pretty sure that's not what Jesus believed, you know? I'm pretty sure that's not what his teachings were, you know? And yeah, I know it's scary, especially when you have people that have really dark pasts. I know as a human being, your brain just goes to certain places. But that's the point. That is the absolute point. God forgave you for the things you've done in your life. You have to choose whether you want to be that for the people around you or not. And if you say you don't, I would argue, well, then you're probably not a believer. You might be a deist. I'm not saying you don't believe in God. You might be a deist, but you're not a Christian. Because that goes fundamentally against the things that Jesus taught. And that was a big part of me leaving the faith, was not just not really believing in the Christian God to begin with, but seeing the disconnect from, like, the documents that were held in high regard by Christians and the doctrine and all of that kind of stuff. Seeing the disconnect between that and daily life was too staggering for me, you know? And I don't expect people to be perfect, but, you know, when you clearly have pastors and you clearly have people that are using their roles to hurt others, and for it to be a power play, I'm sorry, I have a problem with that. I don't like that. That's kind of fucked up, you know? Like, look, I'm not going to go into the specifics because now is not the time or place, but I have my own personal experience with that, which is why, you know, I was dealing with a very not great struggle. And a lot of people in my life were trying to help me and just didn't know how. And one of my friends, and I wish they hadn't because they didn't ask for my permission, but they started talking to this one particular pastor. And long story short, that pastor was not a trustworthy person. And they spread my shit around like it was the newest STD on the market, like everywhere. And not only that, but they, since that day, they have been my soul. If I had an arch nemesis, it would be that person. It would be that pastor. They don't like me. And, but I think it has more to do than just with my past and my addiction. I think they don't like me because I don't put up with their bullshit. I didn't back then, you know? Yeah, I just don't put up with bullshit. Like, point blank. You know, so it's like, I think about situations like that, you know? I think we need to learn as a society to just take people where they're at. And it's totally fair to say, hey, this person's personality clashes with mine. I don't think I'm the right person for this. But that's different than just being like, oh, you're a monster, you can't change. Or I don't like you, so I'm not going to help you. I don't know if I want to be that person. You know? I really don't. You know? You know, being with all of these crazy, stupid, disgusting laws that are being passed, you know, when it comes to the homeless, where it's pretty much illegal to be homeless and you can be thrown in jail in a lot of places now, if not prison, just for being homeless. Like, my heart breaks for the community. I wish I was in a better place where I could take people in and help them and stuff like that, you know? Like, I don't like seeing people hurt and in need and feeling alone, you know? I've talked about in the podcast before, I do know that I've talked about this in the past, you know, when I was a teenager, I did junior high, when I was in middle school too, like, I very rarely ever sought out the popular kids. If there was a kid sitting off by themselves and they didn't have any friend, that was the kid that I was going to go to. And at least try to give them a friend, you know, try to become friends with them. There were some kids who, like, just wasn't about it. And hey, you know, that's cool. You know, you live, you learn, right? But I hated the idea that anyone felt alone, you know? And, you know, have any of those relationships lasted? No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the majority of those relationships, I'm not even in contact with a lot of those kids anymore, you know? But that's okay, you know? I mean, I did it for in the moment. I didn't do it for what might be in the future, you know? I wanted to impact that person's life right then and there, you know? So yeah, I just, I just wish people weren't so judgy, you know? I mean, because look, like, look, you want to know, just to make this even more personable, you want to know where I struggle with this particular subject with, honestly, it's, I have a lot of friends on my Facebook that are believers, that are still Christians, and it makes my skin crawl when I see people posting Bible verses or talking about church or God, all this stuff, and it immediately makes me just want to unfriend them. But then I always have to catch myself, and I'm like, I can't let myself be that kind of person, because not all Christians are like the people that you had to deal with. And I want to be the kind of person that can be friends with anyone. I've got to help myself get past my personal trauma with the church and the things that I've been through in my life. And if I push people out of my life that have that belief system, then I'm never going to grow. And I'm never going to get to a place where I can be more welcoming. You know? Because it's hard. I don't equate Bible verses with anything positive. I don't equate church with anything positive. I would rather hang myself than step foot into a church again. If you took me to a place and there was a church on the left and a tree with a noose and a stepladder on the right, oh, I'd be like, oh, I don't have to think about this. I'm just gonna go ahead and do this, because I'm not going in there again. Did that once. Like, I don't know what happens after we die. Let's see what happens. I want to know. Like, I'm far more curious about this than I ever want to go back in there. You know? I've told people I'm not ever gonna go to church for a funeral, for a memorial, wedding. You will never see me in a church again for anything. And I don't care how many bridges I burn or anything like that. I can't. I hope that maybe one day I'll get to a place where I can, but right now I am not in that state of mind yet. Everything is still too early for me. You know, even with it being 12 years, you know, that trauma still feels like it was yesterday for me. You know, but I don't want to judge people, because I do know a lot of really good Christians, and I do have a lot of friends that I don't want to lose because I become some version of a bigot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to become the thing that I hate, you know? If I'm preaching that I think people need to be more accepting and tolerable, well, then I got to be that too, you know? I'll wrap everything up with this. I want to talk about my fears. And you're like, well, why are you bringing fears into this? Well, it'll make sense. It'll connect. You know, I've talked about in the past, you know, like, I haven't had a job in 12 years. Nobody's wanted to hire me. I don't have work or anything like that. But something that being in this position has allowed me to do is really even be more introverted than I already was, because I've always been an introvert. But it got me to this place eventually where I realized how much my fears were controlling me. And my top three fears are, in third place, needles, in second place, heights, and number one, spiders. I am arachnophobic, like nobody's business. So here's the deal. And given everything that I've been through with cancer twice, going through chemo, my body not handling chemo very well, I'm kind of pretty much over the needle stuff. I still don't like it, but I don't feel like I'm going to pass out, and I'm not scared by it anymore. So something I want to do eventually is I want to save up the money and figure out everything else that I got to do to go skydiving. Saying it out loud scares the mother loving frick out of me, but I want to, because I don't want to let this fear rule my existence. And eventually, maybe I will tackle my arachnophobia. The one difference I will say, and I'm not just making an excuse, the one difference between the two versus the one is I am in control to some degree of my fear when it comes to heights and needles. Like, when it comes to heights, if I was in a life or death situation, I could make myself do something that I had to do high. Like, my knees might shake, you know, like, things like that, but I could make myself do something if I was in an emergency situation. I don't know that I could make myself. I don't even know if I want to be in the same room as a spider if it's big enough. Now, little things, like little spiders, I don't have a problem with. Like, even, like, I don't want it on me, but even, like, those, I forget what they call, like, the spiders that most people get in their backyards that are, like, black and white and stuff, like the, I don't want to say they're garden spiders, but crab spiders, is that what they're called? I think that's what they're called, crab spiders. Like, I don't mind those. Like, I mean, hey, those are good for, like, eating mosquitoes and other terrible bugs that are on. So, hey, I'm cool with them. They can stick around. What I'm talking about are, like, wolf spiders and tarantulas. Like, basically, if I can tell that it has hair, I'm out. I don't want to see features. I don't want to see eyeballs. I don't want to see hair. I'm out. I'm gone. You know? Like, too big. I'm out. If it's small, I still don't like it. I don't want it on me, but I'm not necessarily afraid of it. It's like how I am with roaches. I'm not afraid of roaches. I just don't want them on me, right? Like, if I've got, like, a swatter or spray or something, I'm good. I just don't want it near me because gross. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like that. Like, I don't want my fears to control me. And so one day I do want to tackle them, you know, because I never thought that I would get over my fear of needles. But it's funny what happens when you're put in a place in life where you have to get over it, you know? And I think for me, and look, I don't know this for sure because I haven't actually skydived yet. So I don't know what my brain is going to do or my consciousness is going to do, like, after I do it or while I'm in the process of getting closer to the ground. You know what I mean? But when I sit here and theorize, I theorize my fear of heights comes from a lack of knowing what's going to happen next. You know what I mean? Whereas I think once I understand there are ways to be high and you can in some ways safely be high and come back to the ground safely, then I think I might be okay. And I think I might free myself of that fear. At least that's what I'm hoping. I don't know. But, you know, I guess at the end of the day, I know I want to be a better version of myself by the time I'm dead versus just staying in the same spot forever. I don't want to have all the same beliefs that I have forever, you know? You know, I want my perception of the world around me to change. Because it should change. It should change with the times. It should change with science. It should change with more discoveries. Like, honest question, like, this is a genuine question that I've wondered. If it truly, again, this is just me theorizing, just to make a point, but I wonder if it came out tomorrow that it has been proven through and through that the Christian God doesn't exist, I wonder what most Christians' reaction would be and what they would do. Would they still choose to believe in a God that they know is fake with irrefutable evidence? Would they still want to believe in this imaginary friend? Or would they be willing to walk away and figure their life out, you know? Because I honestly don't know what the question is. I really don't. And so, to bring it all back, I think of Bieber. And I think of all of the things that he's been through in his life. And look, because of him getting in with Carl Lentz for a little bit, which is a very problematic kind of person. I actually saw him preach once in Orlando. Miami. Not Orlando, Miami. I was like, no, that doesn't sound right. It wasn't Orlando. It was Miami. I saw Tim Hawkins live in Orlando. That's who I saw live there. He was great. He was hilarious. I don't care that he's a Christian comedian. Tim Hawkins is hilarious. I highly recommend going and seeing him if you ever have the chance. He's hilarious. But no, I saw Carl Lentz in Miami with a couple other pastors. So I know Bieber has gotten into some shady communities, but unless he become like a Nazi or something, I don't think I'm ever going to write him off. I just don't think I'm capable of that. I'm always going to wish him well and want him to be okay and things like that. And he's one of the few celebrities that I can honestly say, if I was put in a position to do so, I would give my life for him. I would. You know? I don't know with being through chemo and everything, what the rules on that are. You know, which sucks. But the willingness is there. You know? Yeah. So that's the kind of person I am. And I'm trying to be better. What about you?